Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome, and thank you for joining this week's podcast with the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. As part of the sermon series entitled The Spirit-Driven Life, the Archbishop gives key strategies on effective ways to maximize communication with God through prayer. Understand how the Holy Spirit can help you overcome the enemy's plans and give you strength and insight to navigate life's challenges. Join the Archbishop for this year's Global Prayer Work Summit in Maryland from the 17th to the 20th of July. Register now at ndwministries.org. Know today that this is God's word to edify you. Be empowered as you listen.
Last week, Sunday, we began a journey of dealing with the importance of being driven by your spirit. Being driven by your spirit. And we talked about the importance of spirituality, because there's a lot of carnality in the church. So many things are wrong in the body of Christ, and it is said that the church is at a particular time in the history of the church where it's believed that we are the seven church of the seven churches in the book of Revelation, where it's become more of materialism, money, fame, success, and we are more into pleasing men, having the acceptance of men than the acceptance of God, the recognitions of men than the recognitions of God. And it's like we don't care what we do to have relevance. I was listening to a message of a preacher the other day, huge, big, and have great following. And as I was listening, the Holy Spirit, my teacher, began to show me the errors in things that he was saying and teaching. And yet, he has such a great following, and he broke my heart, and I said, Lord, have mercy. So all these people follow him can't even see and tell that they are following error. And one of the dangerous things, if you study history, you look at the healing wave or the healing revival, men like Jack Cole, William Branham, and you look at A.A. Allen and Alexander Dowie, people like Catherine Kuhlman and others, they were so gifted, so anointed, that their gift and the anointing was so powerful, their success was so great, that they didn't have the humility to be accountable to anybody about them. And when you are so gifted, and you are so anointed and so successful that you don't have the humility to be accountable and to be supervised by another, you are in trouble. And that is what happened to Jim Jones. Jim Jones was so gifted, so anointed, so successful, so powerful and huge that he answered to nobody. That when he went into error, nobody could correct him. And he took thousands of people to Guyana and killed them all and killed himself. He poisoned them all and they followed him. And there are people today, if they say God said they should go and hold a camp meeting in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, people will follow them there. Christians will follow them. Because for whatever reason, we haven't made time to develop our spirit, to build up our spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit. We are led by giftings, led by the successes and the anointings and the experiences of others. And we don't have a personal experience with God. I was telling them in the first service that Jesus said when he comes, he will say to many, I know you not. And many shall say, but we cast out devils in your name. We raised the dead in your name. We did great wonders, miracles, mighty works in your name. And Jesus will say, I know you not. I don't know you. I don't know you. You work by my principles. You use my principles, but you have no relationship with me. That word, I know you not, is the same word when the Bible talks about an Adam knew Eve. Intimacy. Intimacy. So there are so many people out there, they are working the works of God, using the principles of God, but they have no relationship with God. They are using the provision of the provider, but they have no relationship with the provider. They don't know the provider. They are working the creation, but they don't know the creator. They are working the blessing, but they have no relationship with the blesser. So he said, I know you use my principles, because when it rains, whoever has sown a seed on the ground, the rain will water it. The sun appears on all. You reap what you sow. Whatever you sow is what you reap. I was telling them in the first service, a lady came to see me the other day in London, and she said to me, you know, Papa, I'm a single mother, and I have this guy, he's very, very good to me. He takes care of all my need, but he's married, and I feel bad about my relationship with him. I feel bad about sleeping with him, but I can't let it go because he takes care of me. And I said, but the thing here is, I understand your situation. You'll be forgiven, but there are consequences of the action. Now, you are not married. When you marry, other women will sleep with your husband. Yeah. And I said, when you sow a seed, you put one corn in the ground, you reap more than one. You reap many, many more than you sow. So I said, the danger here is, as much as you'll be forgiven, because God is merciful and he'll forgive you, is the implications of your action. So it's not worth doing it. Let him go. I said, it's hard, it's difficult. I don't have an easy answer for you, but you have to let him go. And I said, for the sake of your children, because you have girls, you have three girls. And I said, can you imagine when three of your daughters marry, and because of what you did, your daughters are reaping what you sow? So I said, you can't do it. Can't do it. And if you're a man also and you are married and you are sleeping around with other people's wives, you've opened the door, your driver, your security, your watchman will rape your wife. They are looking at me. That is how serious these things are. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, a businessman, and I said, your problem is you are not honest. You are speaking in tongues, you are fasting, you are praying, but you are not honest. You've taken other people's money by mischief. And you think because you are a believer you can go free. You are not going to go free. You are attracting a curse. Dishonesty in business and at the marketplace brings a curse. The only thing that breaks the curse is honesty. So you can't come and expect me to break the curse when through dishonesty you brought a curse on yourself. The only thing that can correct that curse is honesty. So do right by others. Do right by others. And don't think because you've gotten away with too many things, you always get away. No. God gives you a long rope. It's a matter of time. You can hang yourself. It's just a matter of time. And it's very sad on how people are torn by every wind of doctrines. I was telling them in the first service that there was a time where there was this huge man of God. He used to come to Ghana with his private jet, and you watch him on social media television, he filled stadiums, jam. And there was a member of my church who was very close to him. He would carry money, dollars, and go and give it to him, and he wouldn't bless me or this church. But he was still my son. I dealt with him fine. I related to him. And every now and then he would come and say, Papa, the guy is in town. You know, he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to get to know you. He wants to just stop by and visit you and just establish. Papa, you know, the guy is healing people. And I saw his miracles. I saw his healings. But I knew that this guy, he was using the principles of God, but he didn't know Jesus. He had no relationship with the Lord. I could tell. And years after something happened, And the guy came to me and said, Papa, why didn't you tell me that he wasn't correct? And I said, if I had told you then, you would think I was jealous of him and you wouldn't believe me. So I don't have to say anything. Sometimes you have to leave people to walk in darkness, because when you are trying to save them, they'll fight you. So you leave them alone. And deception is very strong, bro. Deception is very strong. I'm telling you, this guy was listening to crowd, people follow him. But there is an error. I was sitting there, and I could hear, and I could see the error. And the people were screaming, amen. And I said, look at this, bro. They can't even tell. And it's because we don't pay attention to our spirit. And what you feed the most grows the most. What you keep ignoring, you will eventually lose it. So come with me as we begin our journey on being driven by the Spirit and the importance of spirituality. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. First scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And it establishes that man is tripartite. Go ahead.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
So it's very clear here that man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. And that you are not a human being. You are a spirit made in the image of God. You have a soul. You live in a body. Until you understand these three dynamics, and until you understand that your spirit is important than the soul and the flesh, you can never be a spiritual person. You know, the other day I was talking to Rose and I said, listen, I'm a little bit tired. I feel like we should just get out of town for a little bit, but I don't want to fly out of the country. And we found a very nice place. We booked and everything and ready to go last week. And I said to her, I'm not feeling it. She said, what is wrong? I said, I don't know. I'm not feeling it. And I'm not talking about my emotions. It was spiritual. I couldn't explain it. I couldn't put my finger on it. But I knew that something was off. And there were two things here. Either the timing was wrong, or there is something about that place that wasn't gelling with my spirit, so I couldn't go there. Now, everybody else can go, but I cannot go. And those are the implications of spirituality. To be a child of God, to walk in the Spirit, has serious implications. People can go do things and get away with it. You try it and it won't work. And sometimes, to be spiritual, it makes you look weird. You look some way. Yeah, you look some way. And sometimes, you can't make sense of things and people will look at you some way. But you know something? I rather have peace in the spirit, and I rather please God than to be in the good books of men and women and grieve the Holy Spirit. Somebody put your hands together. Say something. So here we see clearly that man is tripartite. You are spirit, soul, and body. Say it with me. I am a spirit. I can't hear you. Say, I'm a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. That is who I am. Period. Until you get this, that you are spirit, have a soul, live in a body, you will live a carnal Christian life. You'll be governed by your flesh, by the dictates of your flesh, and by your emotions. And you can never please God. Come with me to John 4:24.
God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
So it's clear here that God is not soul, God is not flesh, but God is a spirit. And if you are going to walk with him, serve him, it must be by your spirit, because you are the offspring of God. You were made in his image and likeness. God is a spirit. You are an offspring of God. You are spirit. By your spirit, you relate to God. Your soul relates to the intellectual realm. Your flesh relates to the earth realm. And that is the way God has done it. Like the mind is tripartite. The mind has memory that deals with the past, contemplation that deals with the present, and it has imagination that deals with the future. And it's the same thing. if you don't get this thing right, you can be speaking in tongues, pay your tithe, fast and pray, and miss God all the days of your life. Because you are trying to serve God with your emotions, with your mind, with your flesh. But we don't serve Him with our mind, feelings, or emotion. We serve Him with our spirit. Put your hands together, say something. Your clapping is very suspicious and weak. Clap your hands and say something. Romans chapter 1 and verse 9.
For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son.
So here, Paul is establishing the fact that we serve God with our spirit, not with philosophy or logic, not with brilliance or intellectual capabilities, and not with our flesh, not with blood, but by our spirit we serve the Lord. See, I hear you. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, Proverbs 20, 27.
The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly.
So here it's clear that God guides us, leads us, directs us, relates to us, communicates to us through our spirit. Is the correct line. That is your security number. That is the only number through which and by which God speaks and communicates to you and I. And it is only through our spirit that we communicate to the Father. Because God is a spirit. You are made in the image and likeness of God. And it is your spirit that relates to God. We don't relate to God with our soul. When God wants to speak to you, He doesn't speak to your ear. He doesn't speak to your mind or your feelings or your emotion or your flesh. He speaks to your spirit. So if your spirit is not charged and your battery is off, you are holding the cell phone, but you are out of coverage area in the spirit. So God is trying to download and to give you advanced knowledge and information to make you aware of something. He can't reach you because spiritually you are out of coverage area. Ask somebody, are you out of coverage area? Ask two people, tell them, ask them, are you out of coverage area? You got to charge your battery. And a lot of you, you are holding your cell phone, your soul, your body, but your battery is dead. You're not charging your battery. You spend the whole week pursuing money. Spend the whole week working hard, going after things, chasing things, doing everything. Have no time to charge your spirit. Your battery is dead. I'm trying to reach you. I was somewhere in the Middle East a few weeks ago, and I couldn't reach anybody, and nobody could reach me. Because I was out of coverage area. WhatsApp and other apps don't work there. Until somebody told me that there is a particular app that works in the area where I was. And when I downloaded that app, I could reach people. And they could reach me through that app. There is a particular app called Praying in the Holy Ghost. Akuda Masayan. When we connect that app, we can download information from heaven and heaven can reach you. When that app is off, so please don't spend all your time going after material things, contacts and money. Let me tell you something, hear me. If you really connect, if you connect, it doesn't matter where you are, God will bring you money. I'm telling you. I know what I'm telling you. I've seen some amazing things in life. Amazing things that blows my mind. I'm telling you. I've been in places where somebody will meet me and say, Papa, I didn't know I'll meet you here. But when I was leaving home, the Lord told me to take some money. And I didn't know what I needed the money for. The Lord just said, take this money with you. Huge money. And now I understand. I had to give you the money. And I said, you have to give me the money, eh? He said, yes. I said, okay, bring it. I'm ready to receive. Are you hearing me? Sometimes I'm in a plane, 35,000 feet above sea level. I'm sleeping. And the flight attendant will come and wake me up and said, Mr. Duncan Williams, there is a gentleman out there. He said, you are the father. He had to see you. I'm sorry I have to wake you up. He said, it's very urgent. And I said, okay, let him come. Who is he? And they'll come and say, Papa, you don't know me. I'm one of your sons. And they'll kneel down in the plane whilst I'm sleeping. And I'm saying, why are you bothering me now? And this is the only time I can sleep small. Nobody knows me here. And they'll say, Papa, I just wanted to bless you before we land. $10,000. In the plane, before I land, I take it and put it in my pocket, quiet. Are you hearing me? I wasn't praying for money. I'm sleeping. Spirituality pays. I'm telling you. Stop chasing money. If you serve him, and if you build your spirit, money will chase you. I'm telling you. Sometimes we struggle too much pursuing things. Pursue God. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that the Gentiles seek after will come to you. It will be added. Say added. Yeah. Let's go ahead with our scriptures. Come with me to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, 1 to 3.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Uh-huh.
And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep.
Uh-huh.
And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
Uh-huh.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
You see, this scripture is very loaded and it's scary. Because you see, over the years, I've seen people quoting scripture and nothing happens. Because you see, there is a difference between the letter and the spirit. And the Bible said, holy men spoke the words as they were moved and inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that is the difference between letter preachers and preachers who preach the spirit of the word. I've seen people who are good teachers of the word, but they are letter preachers. They teach heavy, but there is no spirit. There is no life. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Kalu kasalas. He said, the letter killeth, but the spirit makes alive. And I've seen people, they declare scriptures and nothing happened because the spirit is not moving and the spirit is not inspiring them. So God came on the scene. He saw the state of the earth, that darkness had covered the face of the earth. It was a state of anarchy. Everything was chaotic. And God knew the answer, but he wouldn't say anything. God kept quiet. Sometimes we speak too early. It's always good to be still till you feel the move of the Spirit. There are things I don't touch and deal with until I'm inspired. And when I'm inspired, I'm bold as a lion, because I know when the Spirit moves me and I declare something, it happens. I'm telling you. You make no mistake. When I'm inspired by the Spirit and I declare something, it doesn't matter what you are working with, who you are, it will hit you. After this service, I have a particular scripture I want us to pray with. It's a serious missile that I've been hiding for some days now. Yeah. It's a Taylor missile. And it's going after the enemy. And whoever the enemy is, I don't know, but it will come at you. It's a missile. This one, you can't intercept it. Are you hearing me, somebody? Say yes. Come on, say yes. Say yes. So God saw the state of the earth and will do nothing until the Spirit of God began to move upon the face of the earth. And when the Spirit moved, then God said, let there be light. And the Spirit had intercourse with the Word. And there was creation. The reason why people say things and nothing happened is because their spirit and the Holy Spirit is not part of it. It's just flesh. You see, you can't serve God with intellectual capability. It takes the spirit. When the spirit is not moving, you will say things and nothing happens. But when you see a man speak and it takes effect, he's inspired by the spirit. Holy men spoke as they were inspired. Tell somebody, be inspired, be inspired. Tell somebody, be moved by the spirit, be moved. Moved by the spirit. Amen. So God spoke as the spirit moved. Come with me, look at Luke 3, 21 and 23.
Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased.
So look at Jesus. He walked the earth for 30 years and refused to do anything. He wouldn't act. He understood the Torah. He understood the Old Testament books, the Hebrew scriptures. He was a master of the Torah and yet will not act or perform. For 30 years, he waited for the Spirit to come upon him. And it was when the Spirit came upon him and dwelt upon him in the form of a dove that the Bible said he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So even when it comes to overcoming temptation, it takes the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you. Flesh can conquer flesh. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. This flesh, you can't depend on it. The flesh is so weak that it will fall for flesh. The only thing that gives you an upper hand over the flesh is building a strong spirit. That's the only thing. If you don't build your spirit, your flesh will fall for flesh. And it has nothing to do with how gifted and anointed you are. That's why you see people gifted, anointing, working miracles and performing, prophesying, do all kinds of things. And at the same time, you see them fooling around. Fooling around with immorality. Fooling around with all kinds of things. It's not because they are bad people. It's because they don't understand the rules of engagement. They don't understand that this flesh, it always will fall for flesh. The only thing that gives you upper hand over your flesh is your spirit. And if you don't spend time feeding your spirit, and all you do is feeding your body and your emotions, you will fall. Simple. You fall. It's simple as that. Because you see, flesh loves flesh. Anytime you are hungry and you want to eat and your body is craving for food, you know what your body is craving for? It's craving for dust. Because your body is dust and it needs dust to survive. All the things we eat is dust. Chicken, fufu, bunu bunu, ademe, corn, kenan, banku, yam, plantain, red, umotuo, akpane. All the things you love, you are sitting there like you don't have anything. When we follow to your house this afternoon, we'll see how you declare war on some things. You all like something. And you know the things you are eating and you like is all dust. They are all dust. They came from the plant, the earth, is dust. And your body craves for dust because out of dust came this body, and unto dust shall it return. So when your body sees dust, it's attracted to dust, soul to soul, body to body, spirit to spirit. The only thing that overcomes the soul and overcomes the flesh is the spirit. And if you don't spend time building your spirit and you keep ignoring your spirit, your flesh and your soul will always dominate you. And you say, but why? I'm a believer. I speak in tongues. I love the Lord. I tithe. I'm doing all that I can. But my flesh is always setting me back. It's because you are feeding your flesh. You are spending too much time on building your flesh, and what you feed the most will grow the most. So if you keep feeding your body and you keep feeding your soul and you ignore your spirit will be weak and your soul and your body will be strong. Somebody put your hands together and say something. Say something. Now, the fact of the matter is that you know what I'm saying is true. So why don't you clap and say something and stop acting some way? Amen. So Jesus will not move. 30 years, he refused to perform. He won't act until the Holy Spirit came. And when he came to facing temptation from the devil, he had the Holy Spirit on his side. The Spirit was with him. So it's not enough to know the scriptures. You can know the scriptures, but without the Spirit helping you and working with you, you don't know what scripture to apply at any given time. I'm telling you. Some years ago, I was flying in a particular region of Africa. And the weather was a very strange weather. Very, very strange weather. And it wasn't getting better. And at a point, the people around me were they were shaking. And I was still. Then suddenly, there came a scripture in my spirit. I wasn't thinking about the scripture. It wasn't even in my mind. The Holy Spirit just brought it up in my spirit. But it came in the form of a song. In the form of a song. So as soon as I heard the words of the song, I understood what the Holy Spirit was. I think it's Psalm 119 verse 18 or 118 verse 18. He said, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. It is settled, forever, forever, oh Lord, yeah, the word is settled, it is settled, sing it everybody, forever, forever, oh Lord, yeah, the word is settled. Yeah, hallelujah, forever, forever, oh, yeah, the word is settled, yeah, it is settled, hallelujah, forever, forever. One more time, forever, forever, oh Lord, yeah, our word is settled. When I heard that song, that was the scripture that came to me. And the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, through my spirit, was giving me an assurance that that is not the way you will end. This will not be your end. For my scriptures have declared, there shall no evil befall you. You will not be a victim of any evil work. This is not your portion, and this is not how you end. For it is written, what the upright man perfectly, for the end of that man is peace. And I said, this is not the way I'm ending. And from that moment, I was calm because I had the assurance of the word of the Lord. And I knew that God cannot lie. The Bible didn't say God does not lie. He said he cannot lie. That means even if he tries to lie, he can't. It's not in him to lie. And at that point, I was at peace. And I just said to everybody on board the flight, I said, just be calm. We are good. We are fine. It's okay. It's okay. We'll pull through. May I announce to somebody, I don't know what you are dealing with, what you are going through, but it is well. And it shall be well with you. You will come through this situation. You will not be ashamed. You will not be embarrassed. You will not be disadvantaged. Your children will not beg for bread. And when men are cast down, you will say there is a lifting up. If you believe it, put your hands together and give him praise. So Jesus faced the devil in the wilderness, and he took the Holy Spirit to overcome. The Spirit gave him utterance and knew exactly the scriptures to quote. It's not every scripture you quote at every given situation. I have been in situations for years where I operated in prayer by only one or two scriptures. And I look around me and it's like everything was falling apart. And the only thing that kept me going is one or two scriptures. And I had to hold fast to those scriptures. Declare it over and over again. When it was like nothing was working. And I only cooperate with one or two scriptures. And I knew that God cannot lie. And that God is under obligation to honor those scriptures. And I held on to it, stood upon it, declared it against all ought and against all contradiction. Delukufas. Salamikutunga dalasa. Eleiki tawanda kasun. Lift up your hand, pray in the Spirit for 1 minute. Everybody, lift up your hands. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Just clap your hands, make some noise. Come on, come on. Pray in the Holy Ghost, make some noise. Make some noise. I can't hear you. Make some noise. Make some noise. Amen. Come with me to John chapter 14, verse 16 to 17. Jesus was about to leave and he was establishing a principle. He said, I want you to understand this. I'm the Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And all things was made by the Word. And there was nothing made that was made without the Word. But he said, even me being the Word, I came here on earth and I could not function without the Holy Spirit. It took the Holy Spirit coming to be with me and helping me to succeed. And he said, you've been with the Word. You've seen me walk upon the Sea of Galilee. You've seen me raise the dead, perform great wonders and miracles. And he said, even though you have experienced the Word, you know the Word, you've seen the Word, you still can't function without the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, tarry, because you will need the Holy Ghost. And look at the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. I pray.
And I will pray the Father. And he shall give you another comforter.
So the Holy Spirit is a comforter. Sometimes people say, Papa, how do you survive all these things? He's the comforter. He comforts me. The more I pray in the Spirit, he comforts me. He gives me the ability to rise above my pain. He causes me to rise and to soar as an eagle. Kosala. Turn the evil for good. Turn what was meant for evil for good. Oh Lord, turn it. Turn it for good. Oh yes, sir. Oh yes, sir. Let no man and let no woman have power over your servant and your anointed, oh Lord. Ah. Ikudala kasa, meleye kutuku wasala, aliki mand, awasila mutunki sala. I pray that you will rise and you will soar as an eagle. That wherever the enemy has placed you and conditioned you, that you will break loose and you will soar as an eagle. Kadus, kidus, mefuku sala. Tell somebody, you can't keep me down. You can't keep me down. No, 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 you can't. You can't keep me down. Make no mistake. You can't keep me down. Madaya kasa, molaya sikadula sada. Go ahead.
And he shall give you another comforter.
Another
comforter. He will abide with you forever.
He will abide with you forever.
Even the Spirit of truth.
The Spirit of truth.
Whom the world cannot receive.
Uh-huh.
Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him.
Uh-huh.
But ye know him.
Uh-huh.
For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
Look at the Amplify of John 14:26.
But the Comforter.
He's a Comforter.
The Counselor.
He's a Counselor.
Helper.
He's a Helper.
Intercessor.
He's an Intercessor.
Advocate.
An Advocate.
Strengthener.
A Strengthener.
And Standby.
And a Standby.
The Holy Spirit.
That is the Holy Ghost. That is the Holy Ghost. Those are benefits. He's a helper. He has come to help you and I. And sometimes we grieve him because we ignore him. We ignore his counsel. We ignore his counsel. I've been in situations where it was very painful, and I knew exactly what to do physically, and the Holy Spirit will say to my spirit, don't say anything. Say nothing. And I said to myself, why say nothing? You see what is going on. And I have something to say. And the Spirit will say, say nothing. Because if you say anything, you complicate the issue. You take me out of the equation. Let me handle it. I'll do better than you. Stay out of it. I am the counselor. I am your standby. I am your advocate. I am your intercessor. Let me handle this for you. And I've learned to hold my peace. And sometimes it's so painful. It's so painful because people have short memory. I'm telling you. And people forget. Sometimes they forget the good you've done them. And when people are hurt and offended, they don't care the extent to which they go to throw you under the bus to prove a point and to justify their pain. They don't care. And sometimes I want to say something, and the Spirit will say, say nothing. Sometimes it's so strong that the Spirit will make me put my finger on my mouth like this. I'm telling you. My finger. I will put my finger on my mouth like this. And yet I want to say something. Did you hear what I said? I'm talking about Archbishop. Yeah, Papa. The Spirit says, say nothing. And I want to say something. And sometimes I want to be like Bishop Nyako. And I know I can't be like him. Because we are different temperaments. He has a very calm temperament. And I say, Papa, Father, if you tell Bishop Nyako not to say something, he will get it. But for me not to say something, you know my temperament. I'm a warrior. I like fighting. And you are saying I shouldn't say anything. And you can see what is going on. Minister Nipo, ne? And sometimes the Spirit will say, give it time, give it time. Tell somebody, give it time, give it time. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I've been in situations that was difficult. Hey, I was feeling like cayenne pepper. The thing is burning me. And I know what to say and need to correct the foolishness. I'm in the presence of the right person. And all I have to say is to say one or two things. Need to correct everything. And the Spirit says, say nothing. And then I see the person moving in high places. Yeah. Flying like an eagle, bluffing me and mocking me. And yet, I know what to say and bring the person down. But the Spirit says, say nothing. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. And I say, Lord, you know something. You are God. You live in eternity. Me, I'm a man. I live in time. So if you have to act quickly. Look at Psalm 83, just verse 1. Look at Psalm 83, just verse 1. It's one of the scriptures I use a lot.
Keep not silent, O God. Hold not your peace. And be not still, O God.
Yeah. You see, this scripture is very powerful. Sometimes I say it. I said, Lord, why? Why? For how long will you hold your peace? Keep no silence. You've been quiet for too long. You are allowing all these shegeleles to misbehave. You are making it look like you are not real. Don't you see my situation? Look at my condition. Look at how they are acting and bluffing me. Look at how they are treating me. Do something. And he won't say anything. And I said, Father, you won't even respond. You won't even say anything. Why? And he still not say anything. Then I just realized how foolish I am. I see my foolishness. So I said, okay, I repent, Lord. And in those times, there's only one thing you must learn to do. Despise the shame. And you know why sometimes you want to say something? It's the shame. Yeah, it's the shame. It's the embarrassment. Yeah. You know what they are saying is not true. And you can't defend yourself. Because you see, immediately you defend yourself, you take God out of the equation and you're on your own. And God, okay, you've decided to fight your own battle, go ahead, I'm out of it. But if you hold your peace, despise the shame, endure the embarrassment, and just give it a little time, when God comes through for you, ice. Listen, I've seen God fight. I've seen God fight people. Even within the brethren and Christians a minute ago, I've seen God fight some people, fight my battles, and sometimes I'm scared. I'm scared, I'm telling you. I've seen situations even when I was wrong, and the only reason why God fought for me, it was because I didn't explain myself, I didn't defend myself, I took responsibility, and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I was wrong. It's my fault. And God's okay. If you are humble enough to take and accept responsibility, then I can fight for you. But as long as you feel you are right and you can defend yourself and fight, you're on your own. You see, we have a lot of lawyers here. When you have a court, a case, you go to court, your lawyers can tell you, I don't want you in the box. Sit down. I will handle the case for you. If you are a foolish client, and you think you know better than your lawyer, and you push and push and push, you say, okay, go sit in the chair. And then they'll cross-examine you. They will fire you with some missile, and you will say things you shouldn't say. After your lawyer won't say anything. No. He will just look at you and say, okay, let's go. That means you're on your own. But if you listen to the lawyer, they know what they are doing. They'll say, don't say anything. We'll take care of business. It's their job. They are experts. They know how to navigate in the courtroom. You think you know better, you go and sit down there and let them put some things to you and you set yourself up, implicate yourself and mess up your case. That is what happens when we become carnal and we are not spiritual Christians. When we grieve Him, when we don't listen to the Holy Spirit, when we ignore His voice and you take things up yourself. But sometimes, when it's tough, you don't know what to do. Like the psalmist says, when my heart is overwhelming from the ends of the earth, when I feel all alone and nobody is there to help me out, I will cry out to you, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. There are times when you have to cry out. Are you clapping? If you are clapping, say something.
But the comfort of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, He will teach you all things, and He will cause you to recall and will remind you of and bring to your remembrance everything I have told you.
So all these are benefits and things the Holy Spirit does. Come with me to Luke 24:49. I just want to move fast because of time.
And behold, I will send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power.
So the purpose of the Holy Spirit is not just speaking in tongues and feeling good. You see? Yeah. I was talking to one of my friends yesterday. I met him 40 years ago at one of these schools in Accra, Wesley Grammar. And when we're talking, I said, we've been talking since the days of Wesley Grammar. And we're laughing. And in those days, you know, people used to prophesy a lot. And they used to say something like, Tali, 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 my children, Tali, 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 I'm the Lord, Tali, Tali. So I was saying that, hey, we've come a long way from the days of Tali, Tali, shaking and scaring us, you know. When the Holy Spirit comes, it's not just speaking in tongues and tali tali and shaking. It's power. Somebody say power. Come on, talk to me. Say power. What is the power here? Divine capabilities. It gives you divine capabilities. And it allows ordinary men and women like you and I to do extraordinary things. That's what we're talking about. So you need the Holy Ghost. Tell somebody you need the Holy Ghost. If you believe you need the Holy Ghost, put your hands together and say something. Now, come with me to Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8.
But you shall receive power
again
after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Uh-huh.
And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
So again, it's very clear here that when the Holy Ghost comes, it's not just about speaking in tongues. It's not just about tali. It's power. Somebody say power. Oh, come on, talk to me. Say power. Scream power. The power here means divine capabilities. It means it will enable ordinary men and women like you and I to do extraordinary things. Say amen. Come on, put your hands together. Say something. Come with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 to 18.
Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Be filled with the Spirit here. That word in the original language means keep being filled. That means keep charging your battery. Keep being filled. Keep being filled by the Spirit. You have to charge your battery. You are never tired of eating. Every day you eat. Some of you eat 2, 3, 4 times a day. And you get tired of praying the Spirit. You get tired of charging your spirit. Come with me to Romans 8:14.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
As many as are led by their soul or by their flesh. No, but by the Spirit of God. Are the sons of God. You can't be driven by your soul. You can't be driven by your flesh. You can't be driven by feelings and logic. We are driven by the Holy Spirit. Say yes. Give me Jude 1:20. Jude 1:20.
But ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
So again, that is how we charge our spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 14:2.
For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries.
So when we speak in tongues, it's a spiritual code or language. I was in my office the other day and there was a group of people who were talking and they switched to a language. And then I had a call and the call had to do with the meeting. And somebody said something, and I said, in a language, and I said, Wangana Banzani Kajiko. Then the others didn't know I spoke the language, and they said, so you heard what we were saying? I said, no, I didn't hear it. So when we pray in tongues, we switch from one frequency to another frequency. Are you hearing me? The tongues is not a small thing. It's very, very powerful. Because when I speak in tongues, my mind is unfruitful. I'm operating at a very high level frequency. I'm telling you. That only the angels and heaven can hear. And I prayed in different languages. There was a time I had a guy called Ramius Musasa. He came to me and said, Papa, I'm confused. I want to make a decision whether I will marry in Ghana. He was here then working. Or to go to Zimbabwe and marry. And I said, let's just pray and believe God to guide us. And whilst we were praying, I immediately switched into tongues. And I didn't know what I... He said, wow. And he knew I couldn't speak the Zimbabwe language. And I was speaking in his language. And was telling him that your wife is in Zimbabwe, not Ghana. And you will not marry a Ghanaian. You will marry from your country. There's a woman there for you. And I said everything in their tongue. And when I finished, he said, Papa, you just spoke my dialect. I have clear understanding. I said, what are you talking about? He said, you were speaking my language. You said this, you said that, you said that. And I said, no, me, I don't speak your language. Tongues of men. I had a friend of mine, Michael McCann. short guy like that. Those of you who have been here for years, you remember him. Sometimes we'll be traveling in Europe, and we are flying, or we are sitting in the car, and I'll begin to fire in tongues. And he said, Nick, you were just speaking in Latin. He speaks many languages. And he will tell me the language I was speaking and what I was saying. And me, I'm just firing in tongues. So God can decide at a given time what kind of language you are speaking in to make a statement to somebody. But you have to yield. When I speak in tongues, I'm not impressing men. The reason why you see me when I'm preaching and I speak in tongues is to keep my battery charging. Because sometimes I speak. I've been praying since 3 a.m. Since 3 a.m. I've been here since 3 a.m. praying. Some of you, where you are sitting, I walk all over the place before you came here. When you were snoring, I was praying for you. You know? So sometimes I get tired and I feel like my water level is dropping. But when I pray in the spirit, kadum devang devin kuums asana kutu wasat ela kutum kadalias lemaya katahanda akalindi wahasalama wasia adum. I feel my spirit is charged. The battery is charged. Are you hearing me, somebody? And I can flow. Are you hearing me, somebody? And the Bible says, he that speaketh on in tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. So you can't tell me where I should speak to God. I choose. I can speak to God in the bathroom, in the kitchen, in the car, on the pulpit, anywhere. I can speak to God. You don't determine where, when I speak to God. How I, it's none of your business. And don't try to regulate my tongue. Modaya kasala. Hey! Hey! Kedula mi kasala. Say, I hear you. Am I helping somebody? Go ahead. Come with me to 1 Corinthians 14:4.
He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself.
You see, that word edify means you are charging your battery. Tell somebody, keep charging the battery. I never want to be out of coverage area. Very, very important. You know, Alexander Dowie, he was in his office. And he kept having an edge in his spirit. He didn't see, he didn't hear. He had an edge in his spirit to walk out of his office. So he told the secretary, let's get out of the office. The secretary didn't understand why. He said, let's just get out. He took his Bible, walked out of the office, got out of the building, and as soon as he walked off the building, his office exploded with a bomb. They set up a bomb in his office. And if he didn't walk out, he would have been blasted out. Then somebody would say, where is God? Oh God, why? Why did this happen? You know why things happen? It's because we don't pay attention to the Holy Spirit. We are so caught up with flesh, material things, carnality, that we don't pay attention to spirituality. I'm telling you. Today, make a quality decision that I will pay attention to my spiritual life than physical things. God will blow your mind. Put your hands together. Are you clapping?
But he that prophesieth edifies the church.
You see, he that prophesies edifies the church. So all these prophecies that brings fear, confusion, this is going to happen to you, you are going to die. And I saw this sometimes, I watched them and I said, what is all these prophecies about? Because the Bible says, he that prophesies, that's what edify means. You build the church, you encourage. You don't bring fear, confusion, and panic. But it's also because people don't take time to develop their spiritual life. They don't take time. They just follow everything. And they don't know that they're supernatural. There are familiar spirits. Yeah, they are. I've seen people who speak and they say things. And it's so true and accurate. But the source is not the Holy Spirit. It's another spirit. Like when Moses went to Egypt, he placed his rod that became a snake. The magicians of Pharaoh also brought their rod. It became a snake. So supernaturally, there are so many things that can happen. So you don't just carry, follow people because of their gifting. You have to examine them. Where did they come from? At whose feet did they study? At whose feet? I met somebody and he said, as for me, I was born with a gift. And I said, it's false. Nobody is born with the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to operate the gifts of the Spirit. If you were born with the Spirit, it's not the Holy Spirit. Because before I was born again, most of my father's children, when we close our eyes and we will sleep right now, we will see things. Even before this thing happened with my fingers, I wasn't born again. I had a dream and I saw this thing, but I didn't understand it. So when I got born again, I lost that gift because it wasn't the gift of the Holy Spirit. I lost it, and the Holy Spirit has to give me the rare thing. So the fact that you can see things and you dream and it happens, it doesn't mean it's the Holy Spirit. There are many channels and there are many vehicles in the Spirit through which people see in the realm of the Spirit, but it doesn't mean it's the Holy Spirit. So you have to be very careful. Just because somebody picked things and he saw things, call your name and your address and your telephone number and your bank account, say, hey, O.D. Let me give you one more scripture. Ephesians 4, 30 to 32.
And if not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness.
So how do you grieve the Spirit? Through these things I'm going to mention. One, ignoring him. Not paying attention. Even when he cautions you, you still do what you want to do. Sometimes you just feel like, I'm going to show this person. Show down. And the Spirit will say, no, don't go that way. It's below the belt. Don't do it. Just let it go. Don't do it. Let it go. Yeah. Somebody came to me and he had an issue with a good friend. And he had recorded something on the person and the person didn't know it. And he showed me and said, Papa, can you believe what she's doing? I have things. I have evidence. I will show her. And I said, no, you will not show her. If I put this thing out, she's feeling. I said, no, you won't do that. Because you are sowing a seed. You are sowing a seed. You are sowing a seed. And it will come back to bite you. And it will come back at your children. And you will reap more than what you are doing. So I said, delete it right now in my presence. Delete it. He said, I said, delete it in the name of Jesus. Delete it. And it was a matter of time. She came back and said, Papa, thank you. It turned around in her favor. It turned in her favor. Hear me. Listen. If you don't go the way of the flesh, it will turn in your favor. I'm telling you, it will turn in your favor. It will turn in your favor. And I know people sitting here that people did them evil. Yes, people did them evil. Throw them under the bus. And they had evidence to destroy. And they say, Papa, me, I won't do it. I won't do it. And I was proud of them because, you see, as the years went by, the ties turned in their favor. It turned in their favor. So, those of you who record people, don't do it. Tell somebody, stop recording people secretly. Stop doing it. Yeah. And tell somebody, delete that thing you are hiding. Delete it. Yeah. It's carnality. It's not spirituality. Yeah. Some people feel like, I have something on you. She said, Papa, I have information on hell. If tell her that if she fools with me and she doesn't stop, the day I open some things up, Papa, she'll be shocked. And I said, no, you won't do it. And you know why? It's suicidal. It's suicidal. It's suicidal. There are wives who have information on their husband. They tape their husband. And husband, they tape their wife. And they have it on their phones. What is wrong with you? You are looking at me. Yeah. Yes, sir. I know a situation like that, where a wife has information on the husband, and the husband has information on the wife, and they are keeping it as a weapon. A weapon. And they are working, and they feel so confident and powerful because they have an information. It is suicidal. Use it and see. It will come back to hit you. It will come back and hit your children. It's just a matter of time. Listen, if you look at history, people who bring others down, they don't end well. Just check history. Check history. You know, I was dealing with some situation, and one of my sons brought me an information on this person, and it was very bad. And he said, Papa, I want you to have this information. Because I don't like what this guy has done to you. You can use this. And I said, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. I felt that it was very carnal for me. And also, I have children. And I won't go that way. I said, thank you, I don't want it, and delete it. And he was very disappointed. He felt that he had brought me a weapon to destroy somebody. I said, no. I won't touch him. He will hang himself. But let my hand be innocent of his blood. And in the day that he hang himself, I will be innocent before God. Yes, sir. Finish the scripture, Ephesians 5.
Let all bitterness and wrath,
you see,
and anger.
You see the word there? All bitterness. Some of you are sitting in the church. You are bitter. You are hurt. You offended. You are angry. Rage. Anger. You are carrying human beings in your heart. Some of you are in church and there is a cutlass in your heart. Cutlass. You are waiting to slay somebody. You are like Peter who cut the ears of a human being with a cutlass. Cutlass. Pah. Some of you wives, you are sitting in the church with a cutlass. And you're a husband. You are sitting in church. You have a cutlass. You are bitter. You are angry because of something your husband or your wife has done. You want to show them. Kayan Pepe. Makposhito. I will show you. And you call yourself a child of God. You are carnal. Why are you quiet like that? Am I ringing your number? Answer the call. Answer the call. Tell somebody, answer the call. Answer the call. Pick the call. Pick the call. Pick the call. Bitterness. In church. You're angry. Go ahead.
And clamor or prowling. That is quarrelsomeness.
Uh-huh.
And evil speaking. Let evil all these
speaking.
Put away
you
from
never
you.
Speak good of anybody, critical of everybody. You see somebody, this one. He's sleeping with somebody's wife. This one, he's sleeping with somebody's husband. This one is in drugs. You see the suit, you see the dresses. You talk evil of everybody. Where did he get the money from? Have you seen the way she dresses these days? And you are sitting in church. Do you know some of you, and you are the reason why some people don't want to come to church? Yeah. Because the way you act at home, at the workplace, when people see, they don't want to be born again. I'm telling you. And it's a very dangerous thing if people won't come to the Lord because of you. But it's a blessing when people will come to the Lord and follow you to church because you are living an upright life. Put your hands together for the Lord. Go ahead.
And be ye kind.
Be ye what?
Kind.
Be ye what?
Kind.
Be ye what?
Kind.
Be ye what?
Kind.
Kind.
One to another.
There is no kindness anymore. We are not nice to people. Though. We are not kind anymore. After Sunday, you get to the car park and you can't find your driver. Hey, sayo. The thing that will happen at the car park. Where? Where did you go? Never disrespect me again. Don't keep me waiting here. What do you think of me? Huh? And the driver is shaking. Madam, And the driver is shaking and you are still threatening. Why? Tell to somebody, why are you like that? Why are you like that? And you just left the presence of God and you were praying like angels have descended from heaven. And right at the car park, you backslide. We are not kind. We are not kind to each other. After service, you go to the restaurant or you go somewhere and you see. And I've seen situations where it's time to pay the bill. People are eating. It's time to pay the bill. And while they are counting the money, they realize that they are short of money. They are short of money. And you see that they are short of money. You have money in your pocket. You take your eyes off. Like you haven't seen it. It's just a little kindness. Just tell the waiter, please bring me the bill. Bring me the bill. Let's learn to be kind. Let's learn to show kindness to people. Some of you sisters, you have over 100 shoes. I remember years ago, we were having a prayer summit in the U.S. We were in Chicago. And I couldn't find two of my board members. They were ladies. So we're having a meeting. They weren't around. So when they came, I said, why you people couldn't find it? So, Papa, we went to buy shoes. And I said, how many more shoes do you have to buy? And I said, I need to pray for you. You need deliverance from this shoe demon. You know what they said to me? They said, Papa, deliver us from everything, but not the shoe demon. Shoe demons. And some of you have serious shoes. You won't give some out. Including brothers. You are buying shoes all the time. You keep buying. And you see people in church. They are wearing the same shoe every Sunday. And found. We are not kind. We are not kind. Go ahead.
Tender-hearted.
And be tender.
And then forgiving one another, even as God
for Christ's sake. Forgiving one another. Some of you, before you got born again, you were a murderer. You used to eat human flesh and drink human blood. God has forgiven you, and you can't forgive others. Why? Some of you brothers, you were sleeping with mosquitoes, crocodiles. You slept with everything. Today, God has given you grace to overcome your flesh. When you hear and see others being tempted, you act like you have never been tempted before. And some of you sisters, you were magajia. Today, God has shown you mercy. Why can't you show others mercy? Why can't you be forgiven? Why are you so hard? Why are you so critical and harsh with the sins of others? The only reason why you can stand where you are standing, the only reason why I can stand here and say the things I say, it's not because I'm strong, it's only grace. I'm telling you, it's grace. It's only grace that gives me the audacity to be able to say the things I say. If the grace is taken away from me, I'm weak than you. I'm telling you. Because when I look at me, the things I like, that I can ride over them. I said, hey, Nicholas, you've come a long way. I'm telling you, my sister is sitting there. She looks at me and says, you are born again. You are truly born again. She sees me, Joyce. She looks, sometimes she'll look at me and say, hey, brah. Onyamini we diniye. Onyamia bua opa. My sister. Yeah. Because I was some way, pao. Oh, yeah, even after I got born again, I was still some way. You are looking at me? Somebody say abundance of grace. You know? So, if one overcomes something, you have to realize that it's only by grace. I'm telling you, it's only by grace that we can stand here and say some things. Yeah. And therefore, let's learn to be kind one to another. Let's learn to be forgiving. And let's stop being critical of everybody. Show compassion. I'm telling you. Do you know how many years it took some of you to overcome? Why don't you give others room and trust that God will help them as He has helped you? On that note, stand on your feet.
We know you are blessed by that word of God and look forward to you joining the messages of the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams again. For more information on our events, books, and messages, please visit NDW Ministries online at www.ndwministries.org or call our offices on +1 877 361 5111. Once again, thank you for joining the Archbishop today, and may you continue to experience the life-transforming power of God's blessings.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.